She has been called the Octopus Whisperer. Welcome back to Textonation. I'm Fred Fishkin. With us is the wonderful and prolific author, Cy Montgomery. Hi, Cy.
Hi, Fred. I'm so pleased to be with you today.
Pleasure to meet you. Now, you're out with an amazing new book called Secrets of the Octopus, written beautifully and beautifully paired with National Geographic Photography. Congratulations, Cy.
Boy, thank you. I'm real proud of being part of this project.
Well, you wrote Soul of an Octopus 9 years ago, and now Secrets of the Octopus. What are some of the secrets that may be surprising and the decision to write another book about the octopuses? I got the plural right, didn't I?
You sure did. You get a gold star. Well, National Geographic called me and asked me to write this book as a companion to a three-part TV series that will be airing on Earth Day on Disney. And it was probably a good choice because I was pretty deep into octopuses, having made friends with several octopuses who I knew for years that I researched for The Soul of an Octopus. While I was working on The Soul of an Octopus, though, I was full of questions, and probably the most pressing one was, why do these octopuses who clearly relish my company, who clearly, you know, get excited when they see me and rise to the surface of the water and stick their arms and suckers out of the water to meet mine, why do they want to have anything to do with me at all? Because octopuses were believed, when I began researching the first book in 2011, to be largely solitary, meeting only to mate or cannibalize each other, and sometimes both, the literal dinner date. Why does this animal even have the capacity to form what looks like a friendship with me? And this burning question has started to be answered in, we go through some of the data for this in the third part of the book called Octopus Kingdom. Turns out they're not as solitary as we thought. There's over 300 species of octopus, and we meet some of them in the octo profiles in the back of the book by Warren Carlyle. So, you know, you can't expect a human being to act exactly like a marmoset. So you can't expect a deep sea Dumbo octopus to act like a giant Pacific. But it turns out there's quite a few species, including the famously solitary giant Pacific, who can be found in fairly large aggregations and appear to have social relationships with other octopuses. And not only that, but there are octopus species who form partnerships with completely other animals like fish. And fish will come and signal to an octopus, I've got a great idea. Let's go hunting together. And the fish will stand on his head, a special signal, which the octopus understands. And then the two of them will go off. And the octopus, with his bendy, almost liquid arms, can pour himself into the crevices of coral, for example, where the bony fish can't reach. And out comes all this great prey that both species can enjoy. So this totally blew me away. And there was tons of stuff like that that happened since 2015 when Soul of an Octopus was published. So I was just all over the chance to research Secrets of the Octopus for National Geographic. And I was just as surprised and delighted as I hope our readers will be.
Well, Cy, you talk about an instant rapport with an octopus, but they're not that way with everyone. So tell me what you think it is, why they are drawn to you.
Well, I think maybe I'm not repelling them, and they're very curious. I mean, there's nothing special about me, Fred. I'm just a regular person, but I'm not afraid of them. And even some very brave people who I know personally were afraid to put their hand in the tank with an octopus. They've been portrayed as monsters through centuries of Western literature and art. And so it's no wonder people are afraid, but I'm not afraid at all. And I think that many species can actually sense in other species either fear or aggression. They're good at reading us. And octopuses, with their superpowers of being able to taste with their skin, for example, they have excellent, excellent eyes. Their eyes have no blind spot, unlike ours. They can see all around their heads. So, nothing's getting past that octopus. So if you're fearful, or if you kind of have some distaste for the octopus, maybe they can tell that. And maybe they can tell that I'm very open to meeting them and not afraid and thrilled to make their acquaintance and eager to make them a friend.
Now, as different as they are, you talk about feeling a sameness. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that is very striking because you would have to go to science fiction or outer space to find someone more different from a person than an octopus. I mean, their head isn't even where we think it should be. Most people think that the big round part on top is their head, and it's not. Their head is underneath essentially their thorax or abdomen, and their arms are attached to their head, and their mouth is in their armpits. So they're very different from us. But what strikes me at the same time as their difference, which is very obvious, is their sameness, which is a little harder to get to. And some really cool scientific experiments have been designed to try to understand the mind of the octopus, to try to understand, for example, that they seem to be capable of looking into the imagining the future, or imagining that other minds might be thinking something different from their own mind, which is called theory of mind. Who would think that of someone who's a mollusk? They are mollusks. They are related to clams who have no brain and to snails. And you think, how could you be friends with someone like that? But from the very first moment that I met my very first octopus, Athena, it was evident that this animal was just as curious about me as I was about her. When Scott Dowd, my dear friend to this day, lifted the lid to her tank, I saw this beautiful 40-pound creature with, like a, each arm was about 4 feet long. So she's a large animal. She poured herself out of her den, turned red with excitement, looked me in the face with her beautiful silvery eye, rose to the top. And then I saw her arms boiling out of the water as if reaching for me. So naturally, I plunged my hands and arms into the cold 47-degree salt water and was instantly engulfed in her pristine white suckers. And the only problem was I realized I would have to explain to my husband why, when I got home from Boston, I was covered with hickeys. But it was clear that this individual creature wanted to know, who are you? What are you? Maybe can I eat you? But probably not, because she did nothing that was aggressive. And in fact, she invited me into her tank, but alas, I would not fit. And I later got to know other octopuses very, very well, to the point that they would see it was me and they'd rush to meet me. And they would want to play. They would want to have a meal together, just like you would with, your girlfriend when you're meeting her for tea or for lunch. Or they would enjoy gentle touch. They would want me to stroke them. I mean, we enjoy gentle touch as well. And sometimes they wanted to play. They wanted to play with toys, as again, we do with our friends. And I could see that, it's been proven that octopuses can recognize individuals just looking up at the water at your face. There have been excellent experiments conducted with identically dressed researchers to see if octopuses recognize them. And I could see that my octopus friends knew who I was. And when I had a guest with me, often they would be like, "Oh, you're with her? Well, maybe I can come over to you." But sometimes they were a little nervous about the guest because maybe the guest was also nervous about them.
Tell me about naming them. And I wonder if they name you.
I do wonder. It's so interesting because we are finding out that some animals have very specific names for each other, such as dolphins. Dolphins have signature whistles. Prairie dogs have descriptors of people, like there's the man in the red hat carrying the gun. I mean, they actually can say that. Khan Slabov, oh boy, I'm going to mess up his name, but there have been excellent research studies done on this. So generally, even though Aquarius don't name every fish in the aquarium, they always have a name for the octopus. And at Seattle Aquarium, there was one octopus they named Emily Dickinson because she was just so shy, she never came out from under the filter. They had to let her go because she was not a good display animal. But there was another one that they called Leisure Suit Larry, who would just put his arms all over you, and you would peel one off, and two arms would go on, and you'd peel those off, and three arms would go on. There was another they called Lucretia McKeevil because she was constantly dismantling everything in her tank, and that included the filter, and she would flood the whole gallery. And so they're very individual, and many times keepers name them after, you know, the individual abilities and proclivities that they show. Athena, the goddess of war, was a feisty octopus, and she was the first one that I met. And I was the first person who didn't actually work at the aquarium and see her every day who she ever let touch her head. I was really, really honored by that. And
This
I'm
is this
always
is
drawn to the feisty ones.
this is so wonderful. You know, you talked about the variety. I read recently about the new discovery in the deep ocean in off of New Zealand. I don't know if you saw that story, the brown blob that looks to be half coral, half octopus with eight arms. There's
Oh, it's so wild. They just discovered like four new species last month or in February. There's over 300 species that we know of, but they live everywhere. There are octopuses who live in hot volcanic vents deep under the ocean. There are octopuses who live off Antarctica and have antifreeze in their blue blood. There are deep sea octopuses who have fins that make them look like Dumbo. There are tiny little octopuses that would fit on the tip of your finger, and there's giant ones that can weigh over 300 pounds. It seems like an octopus might live anywhere in the sea, and they have so much more to teach us.
That's just terrific. Well, that National Geographic TV special, Secrets of the Octopus, coming soon, Earth Day
That's right. I
on Disney.
cannot wait. I've seen some of it, and I've seen the rough cut, but I haven't seen the whole thing. So I'll be watching right along with you.
And the title of the book again, Secrets of the Octopus. Cy Montgomery, thank you so much for spending time with us and for making us all more aware.
Oh, it's been a joy talking with you, Fred. Thanks.